Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
We are just freshly off the heels of men's retreat that took place this past couple of days. About 75 guys from across our campuses gathered in Cape May, New Jersey. And I believe this was the 29th men's retreat that we've had. Now, I know your calculators are running. That means this has been a long-standing tradition among our Harrisonburg campus long before East Rock was even present. But the DNA of this retreat, so the history of this is that it started with Pastor Carey, who's been here. You've met him. It started with him and just a few guys. He felt the Lord was inviting him to step away from the busyness of life, to retreat and just focus in on fellowship and communion with the Lord. Well, they went to Harker's Island, North Carolina, and stayed in his mom and dad's house. They were sleeping in the hallway and the couch and everywhere trying to fit this handful of guys in that Harker's Island home. Well, that began there and has grown into what you see today. This was our first trip to the Irma Camp, which is a Christian campground that's just a couple miles off the coast of Cape May, New Jersey. And during our time there, I said, well, what do you do? Well, we got to share a lot of meals together on that campground. They have a common dining hall. A family that runs that campground prepared our meals for us. They brought fresh fish off the boat, and we had that for supper. That's how you know you're close to the water, and it was delicious. I'll save that the rest of that for later. But we got to share meals together. Guys got to go golfing. There was a dolphin whale watching boat ride around the coast that guys got to go on. There was also time to take a nap, which if you haven't had a good Nazarene nap in a while, it is good for the soul. We got to take walks in conversation. It was truly a step away from the busyness of life and a step into the rhythm of God's presence. And so we got to experience worship together, time in God's Word. We had three sessions. There's an old-fashioned tabernacle there, and you see that in some of the pictures. But we had three services, and it culminated Friday night. Pastor Carey preached, and we had communion together. And that night, somewhere between 9:30 and 10 o'clock, two young men, just sensing the call of God on their life, said, I want to be baptized. So there was a garden hose brought out, and two young men were baptized to finish off men's retreat. This year's theme was called Carry the Mat. Carry the Mat. This idea comes from the story in the Gospels where four friends gather up their paralyzed friend, carry him to see Jesus, and they tear off the roof, hence we just sang about that, and they lower him in to be healed. And this story demonstrates for us, yes, Jesus' compassionate power, but it also demonstrates for us the urgency of bringing our loved ones to Jesus. And in this story, Jesus is preaching in a packed house, but his attention comes to one. And that really ties back to the DNA of what we talked about earlier this year with our and earlier in 2024 of this idea of 4-1. If you were not here for that series, we took a look at the stories in the Gospels, and we see how Jesus, we believe that he came to save the whole world, and that he did through his life, death, and resurrection. But so many times his mission was lived out one person at a time. And that's what we see in this story of carrying the mat. And so from that series, we took the challenge to live like Jesus. You've heard a lot about that the last couple of weeks, but one way we believe we're called to live like Jesus is to be compassionately present for one, to prayerfully consider who God has put in our lives that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus to love on them, not to beat them over the head with the Bible, not to drag them handcuffed into this room. Please don't do that. But just to be present, to be committed to prayer, to invitation, to loving them and showing them the love of Jesus. And again, this is not making someone a pet project. This is just trusting Jesus that if we'll show up, so will he. Billy is going to come up. This is Billy Hook. He's going to come up and share with us and unpack this scriptural story. But that just gives you a sample of the DNA of what this retreat was all about. Lord willing, we'll be doing it again next year. And so you can even prayerfully consider now being a part of that. But this story helps us to see Jesus' attention on one and the urgency of loving others to him. Billy, can I pray for you as we get started?
Please do.
All right. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather, Lord, in worship and fellowship, Lord, to study your word. And so, Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears to what you are saying, what you're desiring to do. Lord, give Billy divine presence, divine comfort to speak your word, and give us hearts and ears to hear what you have to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Like Jared said, we're fresh back from Cape May, New Jersey. To be quite honest, I wasn't real sure about New Jersey compared to having to go to North Carolina for so many years, but it was good. It was worth the trip. So as we dive in today's scripture, like Jared said, we're going to be in Mark chapter 2. So I want you to picture this. It's a crowded house. People are packed in every corner. There's no room to squeeze in, not even at the doorway. Then suddenly the roof starts coming apart. Dust falls, sunlight breaks through, and a man, paralyzed and helpless, is lowered down on a mat right in front of Jesus. What happens next is powerful. Jesus doesn't see a man in need of healing. He sees faith. And before he even speaks healing to the man's body, he speaks freedom to his soul. Son, your sins are forgiven. But here's the part we often overlook. After Jesus heals the man, he tells him, do something very specific. Get up, take your mat, and go home. But if Jesus healed him, why tell him to carry the old mat? The mat had been a symbol of limitation, the thing he'd been stuck on for who knows how long. But now Jesus transforms it into testimony. The mat becomes proof, not of just where he was, but what God has done. Today I want to talk to you about what it means to carry your mat. First, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we open today's scripture. Lord Jesus, as we come with confidence to your throne of grace, would you open our ears to hear what you would say? Lord, I pray that you'd help me to speak with confidence what you've put on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to be in Mark chapter 2. First 12 verses. I'm going to be reading out of probably a different translation than some of you may have, but follow along in what you have. So we're going to be starting chapter 2, verse 1. When he entered Capernaum, again after some days, it was reported that he was home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway. And he was speaking the word to them. They came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after digging through it, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was laying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Right away, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves and said to them, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he told the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he got up, took the mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So several years ago, I found myself deep in the heart of Northern Virginia. If you've ever been there, you understand what I'm saying. I'm not a real big fan of 66 or 495. I was working construction on a 7-story hotel at the time. I'd been going back and forth to that region for a few years at this point, living out of suitcases, rotating through hotels, and watching life at home pass by from a distance. To say that the travel back and forth up there was wearing on me would probably be an understatement. I can still tell you how long it takes from just about any mile marker between Sterling and Harrisonburg, how long it takes to get home. You're sleeping in unfamiliar beds, working while sick, missing birthdays and milestones, hugs from my kids. The toll was real. It was physically, emotionally, and spiritually draining. Early most mornings, I would sit in the front of my work van before the long drive back and weep. Not from exhaustion, but from a deep ache that came from leaving my wife and children behind. But I went, because it was my job, because I had no choice. Over time, the weight of it all turned to bitterness. I functioned well on the surface, met deadlines, and got the job finished. But inside, I was breaking. Frustrated and angry, wondering why I had to carry this burden, and feeling like no one really understood the weight I was under. On the outside, I looked like everyone else, but on the inside, I was paralyzed. So some background for today on this particular passage. It was set in the ancient city of Capernaum, which, if you look at a map of Israel, Capernaum's way up at the top on one side of the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum was referred to as Jesus' own city, as recorded in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1, because after leaving Nazareth, he went to live in Capernaum, at least for a time. Capernaum means the house or town of Nahum. However, the identity of this name is not necessarily known. In New Testament times, Capernaum was a center of commerce. Fishing and trade were important. It was also a Roman tax polling station. Take note of that, because Matthew happened to be a tax collector. At Capernaum, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who were fishermen, joined Jesus as his disciples. Matthew, who was a tax collector, joined them. And as we enter today's text, Jesus has just returned to Capernaum from preaching in the area of the Galilee and healing the man who was overcome with leprosy. So the first thought is hope sought. When he entered Capernaum again after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway. And he was speaking the word to them. They came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four of them. In our text today, some came from right around the block. Some came from in town. While others came from what scriptures say as much as 100 miles away to hear him speak. To put that into perspective, it would be akin for us to walk to Richmond or our nation's capital or Roanoke, Salem area on foot. I can't necessarily imagine walking that kind of distance on foot. Most days my feet ache at the end of the day from walking what I do walk. I can only imagine journeying that kind of distance and the time it took. I mean, we're talking days. But that didn't necessarily stop this crowd from pressing in to see Jesus. They're literally filling the house and blocking the doorway. Standing room only. In this text, we're introduced to four people carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Scripture doesn't say how far they carried him. But we do know they were focused on one thing. And that was getting their friend to Jesus no matter what. Let's continue in our text in verse 4. Since they are not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after digging through it, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was laying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So I want to ask a kind of a pointed question, but an open-ended one. So what barriers are standing in our way of getting to the man on the middle cross? What's keeping us from fully seeing Jesus at work in our lives? For the four friends in our text, the crowds were keeping them from getting to Jesus. What has it been for you? What things have kept you from the man on the middle cross? For me, during those long seasons of travel work, the greatest barriers weren't necessarily physical. They were internal. I wrestled with the quiet doubt that anyone really cared. I was weighed down by the frustration of lost time, birthdays missed, moments that I couldn't get back. The slow ache of being away from home, those thoughts clouded my view of God's presence. I was functional, but not free. Those things kept me from being able to see Jesus and receive the healing I so longed for. So I ask you, what's keeping you or someone you love from experiencing the freedom found in the person of Jesus Christ? What's blocking the view? Is it pain? Maybe it's shame or disappointment. Maybe it's pride. We all have blind spots, and often the people we walk with every day are carrying burdens that we may or may not see. The crowds around Jesus that day prevented these four friends from getting their friend to Jesus, but they didn't give up. They knew that their friend needed Jesus. He needed help, and he needed hope. They were committed to doing whatever it might take. It may look something a little like this.
That's our rope.
Put it back, man.
If you are willing, Rabbi, I know you can do this.
Whose authority do you teach? Answer me.
If you are willing, Rabbi, you know you can.
Hey, I'm talking to you. By whom do you teach? Certainly not the authority of any rabbi from Nazareth. Where did you study?
Your faith is beautiful. Son, take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Right. But I ask you, which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven. Or rise up and walk. It's easy to say anything, no? But to show you, and so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, my son, rise. Pick up your bed and go home.
Four friends were so desperate to get their friend to Jesus that they did whatever they needed to do to get him there. I don't know about you, but when I've prayed for loved ones or when I've tried to get them to Jesus, I recognize the temptation to give up. It's real. To see the crowded house, the difficulty in the way, and think, well, I guess that just wasn't meant to be. But we see in this text that these four friends teach us a very valuable lesson, and that's one of persistence. Amen. We each one of us has a circle, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, someone we're walking through life with. Someone walking life in the shadows, trying to make sense of their story without the light of Jesus. So what would you do? What would you do to help them to find the healing and the hope they so desperately need? Sometimes the breakthrough someone needs isn't necessarily a sermon or a grand gesture, like hacking a hole through someone's roof. Sometimes carrying the mat is a simple act of love, a quiet prayer. Maybe it's just a text that says, I see you, I care, or I'm praying for you. Maybe it's a conversation over a cup of coffee, or maybe it's an invitation to church. But one thing's for certain, we can never underestimate the impact of a simple, quiet gesture. The key is that whenever, whatever we do is done in faith, that Jesus is willing and able to heal. He is the one we all need. The kind of faith that Jesus saw in the four friends that day was persistent, committed, and focused. So let's finish our text starting in verse 6. Chapter 12 and verse 6, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But right away, Jesus perceived this in his spirit, that they were thinking like this within themselves, and he said to them, why are you thinking these thoughts in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. But it should, you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He told the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he got up, took the mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. So in today's passage, we see that Jesus sees the faith of the friends And he heals the one who was on the mat. But not necessarily in the way you might have thought. Because you can heal the outside, but that means very little if the inside is still broken. You see, the friends brought the man for the obvious need of being paralyzed. But Jesus saw that his greatest need was to be forgiven of his sins. Jesus always sees our greatest need as the band makes their way forward. I'll tell you the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey would say. I've been working out of town for 6 to 8 months. It was an 8-month project. It was a 7-story hotel, and I wasn't there when they broke ground, but I was there for most of the rest of it. Every day felt very heavy. It was inside the Beltway off of Route 7 in the middle of Northern Virginia traffic and all that brings. I was filled with anger and frustration, resentful of the distance between me and my wife, and aching for time with my young daughters. On the outside, I looked fine. I did my job, and I showed up. But on the inside, I was unraveling. My thoughts were clouded. My spirit felt stuck. It felt like I was paralyzed. Not physically, but in my mind. What I failed to see in those moments was something simple yet profound. God's presence was just as real on that job site as it has been in any church or any prayer closet or at any altar. One day while working, I had a pair of earbuds in and I was listening to music. Just doing my job, tools in hand, and I had music playing from Pandora. The song Stay by William McDowell came on. And something shifted. Right there in the middle of that loud, chaotic construction site, I was completely undone. I had to step away and find a quiet corner amidst the noise and worship. Tears came before words did. I wept and I worshiped. In that moment, I knew God saw me and he hadn't forgotten me. And he was with me. The frustration didn't vanish overnight. But something far more important happened. I was reminded that I wasn't invisible and that I wasn't alone, and that the God of the universe met me in the middle of that job site, covered in dust and sweat, and wrapped me in his presence. We all have needs. What needs have you carried with you today? Church, if there's one thing we can all agree on, it's this: the world is desperate for hope. Psalm 42 says, as a deer longs for flowing streams, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While all day long people say to me, where is your God? I remembered this as I pour out my heart. I have walked with many, leading the festive procession to the house of God with joyful and thankful shouts. People are searching high and low, near and far, from the corners of success to the shadows of despair, searching for the hope that we have in Christ and in him alone. Maybe today you're searching for hope. You've run every direction you could that didn't involve running to the cross. Let me say it plainly. We can search at the bottom of a dark brown bottle, or we can search in a bottle of pills. We can search in relationships, promotions, or possessions, but we won't find hope there. Not real hope. Not hope that lasts. In Mark 2, we read about a paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof to meet Jesus. His friends were so desperate for him to be healed that they did whatever it took to get him there. Maybe you're here this morning and you too have been desperately searching for real hope. We're going to respond in a few different ways as Beth leads us. First, I would invite you to carry your loved ones to Jesus in faith-filled prayer. This front row of chairs can serve as our altar if you need to come sit at the feet of the healer. We have small cards at the foot of the cross. I would invite you to write their name on that card and pin it to the cross as an act of faith, knowing that Jesus is able, helping them carry the mat. Second, if you're here today and you sense you need to encounter Jesus, maybe for the first time, maybe for healing or for help, or maybe you need to simply trust in Him with your greatest need, Pastor Terry and Pastor Jared are in the back and would love to pray with you. So as Beth leads us, let us come alongside you today as we seek Jesus together.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.